Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We live in a world where we need a lot of people to save us from all kinds of trials and difficulties in life. And so there are a lot of saviors. We call some of them inventors, some of them are doctors, all kinds of professions. We thank God for the people who helped and saved the world from COVID-19. We thank God for the people who invented the lift or elevator to save us from climbing so many steps if your apartment or flat is up in the sky. So there are many different forms of people who have been helping us in so many ways. We don't use the word savior to describe them, however, but in a way, because of what they have done for us in so many different directions and so many different aspects, they are saviors, small s, plural. But there is one that can save us, the only one who can save us from the greatest danger and trouble in life, and that is death. We all want to live forever. All of us do. Not only to live forever, but to live forever in a very perfect place and condition. Not merely or simply to live forever. Because if you were to ask any beggars, they don't want to live forever as a beggar. Can you imagine living in the streets without a home, no food, no proper amenities? And then you tell him, "Good news, my friend. You're going to live forever in the streets, smelly, without proper amenities, no food, struggle, day by day." He will not see this as a blessing. He will see this as a punishment, even a curse. So living forever must have all other conditions. You don't want to live forever in pain, so you want to live forever in good health. You do not want to live forever in a wheelchair. You do not want to live forever without strength, unable to walk, like a very weak, old individual. And so you want to live forever in wealth and in health, in strength, in mobility. So living forever, that's why we need a Savior. And yet, we know that all that we have just mentioned is impossible for us. Because we know we have all done wrong. All of us have sinned in one way or another, and against God in particular. Not just against our fellow human beings, our fellow men, but against God. Our sins against our fellow men, we can ask for forgiveness once you find Him. And you can make whatever restitution that you can afford in order to make peace with Him once more. But when our sins against God are highlighted and make known to us, what can we give to God that is not already His to possess? He created the heavens and the earth, and therefore anything that you own that is out of this earth belongs to Him anyway. And therefore you and I have nothing to give to God to appease His wrath and anger against us for the many sins that we have committed against Him. And that's where the Savior comes in. This is no ordinary Savior that can save us from any sickness or disease or any inconvenience in life. But this is a Savior that can save us from the greatest enemy of mankind, death. We die because of sin. Get rid of sin, we get rid of death, because death is the consequence. If we are no longer sinners, we no longer die. So how do we get rid of sin in our lives? We can't just erase them by using some kind of eraser. It's as if we have never sinned before. Sin has to be punished. Once it is punished satisfactorily, then that sin will no longer be counted against you, because it has already been fully paid for by punishment. You stole something from someone, you are caught, you go to prison, you come out, you are a free man. You walk face to face in front of the policeman who caught you. You don't have to walk on the other side and avoid him. You can look at him in the eye and smile, because he cannot arrest you anymore. He had arrested you, you've been found guilty, you spent your time in prison, and now you are a free man. You have paid the penalty. And so, that particular sin or crime that you have committed will no longer be held against you. And this is the justice that God had instituted in this world, in this universe. All sinners must be punished, all sins must be paid in full. And once it is paid in full, you no longer have to worry about that sin anymore. But how do we do that? For all the many, many sins that we have committed against God, can you pay money? No. All that you and I consider as precious, gold, silver, precious stones, God says they are basically colorful decorations. They have no real value. Whatever value that you may ascribe to it is only in your mind. They have no real value. That's why these materials that we have keep on changing in price, in cost, in value. If it is really that valuable, if it is true value, it should remain constant. It should not fluctuate with time, with inflation. It should remain the same. But you know it's not. That's why you know it is not real wealth. So what else do you have? Well, my life. Well, your life is a gift from God. You can't give to God who gave you the gift. Well, what about my good works? Your good works are already stained by your sinful hands, and therefore they are not good enough in the sight of God. So what do we have? Nothing. We need a Savior. And that is why in the days of Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years ago, 700 years ago, prior to the destruction of the northern kingdom Israel, God sent his prophet Isaiah to give hope to a nation that was on the brink of cessation. There was absolutely nothing the Israelites could do to stop the Assyrian invasion and the destruction of Israel. And so what they need was hope. A hope that is eternal. A hope that will solve life's greatest problem, the problem of sin. We need someone, a Savior, to save us from sin. And that's what Isaiah 9 verse 6 is all about. A Savior is born who is able to save us from our sins against God, that there is nothing any one of us could do to stop the wrath of God from falling upon all of us, if not for this Savior. And so what we see from verse 6a of Isaiah 9 is his coming. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So his coming is prophesied, not only at the time of Isaiah, but as early as Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the seed of a woman, again, a son, a male child, will come into this world to save us, to be our Savior from the sins that we have committed against God. That's what the Bible tells us, to let man know that there is hope. To live in a world and a life of hopelessness is very grievous. To know for a fact that if we die at any time, we could. We die in our sin. And what waits for us is a holy God who will judge us and condemn us to hell forever. And we know that we deserve to be punished in hell, where there is great pain and gnashing of teeth, great sorrow. This is the justice of God that we all cannot deny, because we all understand how heinous man can be in his action. Sometimes you and I read in the papers of the kind of evil that man may have done. there rise from any one of us. You don't even have to be a believer to be upset and angry. If you read in the papers of fathers abusing their own child, 2-year-old child, a parent is supposed to protect, not abuse. And when you read of the kind of evil that they have committed against their own child, you get angry and upset. And you want the court to throw the whole book at that person. Never let this person to see daylight again. Put him in a single cell where he will die all alone for the evil that he has committed. Because that kind of harm and hurt that he has done to his child is not just physical. It's emotional and mental. Even when the physical hurt and pain is healed, but the emotional and the mental trauma will probably plague the child for the rest of the child's life. How could such a father, an animal, be allowed free to walk around as if he has paid his due? What could he pay for such a crime, such an evil, other than to spend the rest of his life in prison, isn't it? So we all know what sense of justice means. We want it to be equitable, we want it to be fair. So, sin against God. God doesn't exist, evolution. This whole universe came about out of the Big Bang. It just appeared out of nowhere, evolved through billions of years. Even though the heavens and the earth kept declaring in a language that we all understand that God created the heavens and the earth. Look at the intricacy of the design. How can there be no designer? Look at the vastness and the greatness and the size of the universe. How can there be no God who is greater than the greatness of the universe to create such a vast universe? And so God, through creation, keeps telling us that I exist and I am a mighty great God. But what do we say to Him? He doesn't exist. And even if we believe that there is a God, we make God into our own image over and over again. Out of our hands, we made Him out of stone, we made Him out of gold, we made Him out of all kinds of material that is of this earth. As an insult to Him. What can we pay, what can we give to God other than to be punished and to spend eternity in hell? We know how deserving we are of such a punishment because of our sin. And that's why God has to send a Savior. It will be a man. And God said it will be a gift. That's why the Bible says it is given to us. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve Him. I will give you a Savior to save you from sin. The sins that you have committed against me, that you are now in bondage to, where you cannot help yourself but to think sinful thoughts, to have all kinds of sinful, wrongful motives in your heart, which no man can see, but I see, God says, I know, and you know too, if you are honest with your own soul, with yourself. And then the words that you have spoken, sometimes in private and in secret, you muttered it under your breath, but I heard every syllable, God says. And then our actions. Oh, how awful our actions are. We lie, we cheat, we steal. Because we look around, there is no policeman, nobody can see, nobody can catch me, and so we commit. But God says, I watch, I see everything, I know everything. And so we know we can't escape. And therefore God says, I have to save you by giving you a Savior. And that's why it is given. You can't buy, you can't earn, you can't pay money to Him to save you. It's just a gift from me to you. This world of sin, I gave you this Savior who is going to be a man. That's what the Bible says, a child, masculine gender, a son. My son, God says, I'm not going to give you a servant. I'm going to give you my son, my only begotten son. God says, I don't have many sons, only one. And I will give him to you to be your Savior. And that's God's prophecy to a world, to the world of Israel, that was about to be destroyed by the horrendous, barbaric Assyrians, a very cruel people. to give them hope in the midst of this evil world and destruction and death that will soon come upon Israel. You do not need to die in your sin and be cast into hell. I sent as a gift my Son to be your Savior. But this is no ordinary Savior, because His coming will result in His government. He will be great, because the word government can sometimes be translated as an empire. This word of government is a very special word, appeared here and in verse 7 as well. The government shall be upon His shoulder. He will rule. He will govern. He is going to be a leader. He will govern His people. He will govern with the land. He will govern with the country. He will govern. No matter what anyone will say or do, He will succeed. No one can stop His government. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be great. It's going to be global, because He's going to be the Savior of the world. And therefore, His government will be global, worldwide. Will you be part of His government? This government that you and I exist in is by birth, right? We are born in Singapore, and therefore we are under the Singapore government. As you grow older, or even when you were young, your parents could change government by migration to another city, but or another country, I mean, and you will be under another government. So you had a choice. Your parents have decided for you, and therefore you are born in this island of Singapore. And therefore, they govern you. You don't like it? You can migrate and go to another country, but you will be under another government. And then you don't like it, you go to another country, you'll be another government. Everywhere, anywhere you go, you will be governed. And every governor or government today, they are not perfect, they are problematic. It's corrupted. It's a matter of the nature of the corruption and the degree of the corruption. Some are more visible, some are less visible, because they cover it up pretty well. Some they do not, because it is so corrupt that it is so huge that they could not even cover it up. It is just simply accepted and probably known to the whole world and their own citizens, but there is absolutely nothing anyone could do, because the government is in control and you are in it. And therefore you just simply have to accept it, unless you have enough money to migrate and to get out under that kind of cruel, corrupt government. But everywhere you go, it's still corrupt. It's just less corrupt in some instances, but corrupt nevertheless. But this government is different. This government is only for the people who are under Him, who have accepted Him, who have chosen this Son that God will give to rule over them. You have to make a choice. You have to decide. Because if you do not, you will die in your sin. And God will consign you to hell forever. But you can make a choice only while you are still alive. The moment you die, whatever state and condition that you are in will be the condition and state you're going to be in forever. If you die in your sin as an evil, wicked person, you will be an evil, wicked sinner for eternity, where you're going to spend eternity in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. But if you believe and say, I want to change government, I want to be part of the government of this Son that God will give to us, the world, one day, under His protection, under His care, I want this government. Do you? Because this is a very good governor and a very good government. It will be fair. It will be just. It will be perfect. And therefore, only the just and the perfect people can be part of this. Because If it is going to be perfect, it's going to govern only those who receive and accept Him, then you have to be like Him. Otherwise, you're going to find it very miserable. You know, good people do not like evil things, just as evil people do not like good things. Right? They find those things that are good, holy, pure, and righteous disgusting, because they are the opposite. Evil people love to hang around with evil people doing evil things. They find good, holy things unacceptable, repulsive, and don't want to have anything to do with it. Isn't that true? So if this governor, who has this government on his shoulder, it's going to be who he is, holy, good, and righteous, then you have to be like him, good, holy, and righteous, in order for you to feel comfortable in his government. People who live in Singapore love Singapore if they can fit into the Singapore society with very little stress and strain. Some cannot, so they migrate. They do so because their children, for example, could not handle the pressure of our educational system. They think that by going somewhere else and getting their children into another educational system that may be less onerous, it's preferable. And so they left everything behind, their job, to find new job, new pastures, and then they will go. Because they believe or hope that it will be better for their children. There must be a reason, right, to come under a particular governor and a government. Well, this is the government. Do you want to be part of it? Well, the governor has a name. So this son or savior that is born, his coming is a gift. He's going to save the world from the world's greatest need, sin and death. And he is not going to just simply save us and dump us and leave us alone. He is going to save us and he's going to govern us. He's going to make sure that you are well protected, that you are well provided for. Because after he saved you and then he left you alone, what are you going to do? So once you're under his government, he will care for you and he will protect you and watch over you, right? Under his care. That's what government means, right? A govern. That's why citizens in Singapore, you have special privileges that foreigners do not have. You can buy our public housing at great discount so that you will not be without a home because you are under the government. So they govern, they protect, they care for you. And so the Lord says, I will now let you know this Savior's name. His name shall be called. Now, to let you know whether you want to be part of this government or not. So you need to know his name, so that you will have as much details as possible to make a very informed decision and choice. Because if you are not part of this government, you're going to be on your own. And then when you die in your sin, the government of Singapore is not going to protect you and help you. Because it's only Singapore. Singapore is only good on this side of eternity. After you die, there is no Singapore after death where you can go to. You are facing the Creator, the one who gave you life, your Creator, God Himself. And so His name, five aspects. First, wonderful. Wonderful simply means full of wonder, miracles. He will have the ability to perform miracles. And these miracles are miracles that only God could do. Full of wonder when you look at him. And so when this son, the Savior that God would send, when you look at his life, and his life is described for us in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his miracles will authenticate his claim that he is God. So when this son, that is a gift from God, is born, he did not surrender his original state and condition, which is one of deity. He is God. So when he became man, when he took on a flesh and blood, right, became a son, as a gift from God, he did not stop becoming God. He remained as God even as he became human, flesh and blood. And that is why he must do miracles, full of wonder, because people won't believe him. He had to demonstrate his credentials that he is still God. And so when you look at the miracles of Jesus Christ, when he calmed the storm, you know creation only listened to the Creator. And you know that no matter how powerful our leaders are with our latest technology and all kinds of so-called nuclear armament, when a storm comes, every nation, whether it is America, China, or Russia, they are completely helpless. Their weatherman can only warn them that a typhoon, a cyclone, or tsunami is approaching. Run for your life. That's all they could tell you to do. Absolutely nothing to stop it, to slow it, or to change its direction. If the cyclone wants to come and land on your country's shoreline, can you stop it? No. Can the most powerful man or woman stop it? No. Can you fire missiles to stop it? Useless. But this gift, Savior, all he needed to do was to open his mouth. He just spoke. Peace, be still. And the wind listened. It stopped blowing. The waves that were boisterous and coming into the ship suddenly disappeared, and the water was as calm as a mirror. And those who observed it, experienced it, and watched it, and saw it, they got the shock of their lives. Who is this man? Only God could command creation, and creation only listened to the voice of its Creator. That's why Jesus Christ did that miraculous, wonderful work. He commanded all the angelic beings. That's why he healed those who have been demon-possessed. They obey him at his word. They departed when he asked them to leave. They left. No argument, no delay. Instantaneously. Every sickness and disease that was brought to this Savior, he healed. Not a single disease. He could not heal because God is the God who gave life and death. And disease is basically a reminder of our mortality, that all of us are dying. And therefore, to demonstrate that life and death are in the hands of God Almighty, the Savior, who is a gift from God to us, he healed all diseases to let us know that life and death are in his hands. Wonderful work to help us realize that God is now walking in the midst of sinful men, to be the Savior as a gift from God to sinful men. To now ask men, do you want to be part of his government, to be under his control, his protection, his guidance, his provision? It's your choice. Would you choose wisely? His name is wonderful. Not only that, Counselor. Whatever conundrum, whatever problems, whatever questions you may have to ask, he answered them all. Especially pertaining to eternity. We're not talking about all these difficult questions that pertain to science or arts or literature or poetry or whatever that is of the earth. Of course, he can answer all of them, but it's futile. What we need are answers to things that have eternal significance. Where will I go when I die? You and I need to know that kind of answer to that kind of questions. The Bible made it clear, when a person dies in sin, he is cast into hell and ultimately the lake of fire because of the horrendous nature of his sins he had committed against God. And God is a just God. He will never over or under punish anyone. Or if you die with the Savior as your Lord and Master and you are under his government, you die as a saint. You die as a child of God. You no longer die as a sinner, and therefore you will no longer be afraid of hell, because you will no longer be cast into hell. You will be gently, lovingly, when you die, usher into God's presence in heaven. Counselor, the Bible has all the answers to life's problems pertaining to eternity. It is not a book that you study to pass your geography exam. But this is the book that you study to find the answers to life after death. The life before this life begins. It's all in this book, Counselor. You will find all the counsel, all the advice that you need to be wiser than your teachers and the ancients. Study this book. Jesus Christ will be very clear to you. The Savior as a gift to a world in sin. The mighty God. That's why the wonderful works that He will do to demonstrate that mighty God. Anything and everything that power can do, He has the power to do it. How much power is required to create this universe out of nothing? God did it. How much power to raise the dead? God did it. How much power is required to heal a man's limbs who has never walked a day in his life because he was born crippled? God has the power to do it. It takes 9 months for a baby from the state of its beginning to form into a human with eyes and fingers and toes and ears and mouth. 9 months and then born. And then it needs many, many years for it to grow into maturity with strength and energy to walk and to run fast. God can compress this entire period of 9 months plus many years into a moment in time when He healed that man who had been born lame, never walked a day in his life. How much power? God did it. Compressed time and gave this man strength and limbs and muscles so that this man can just simply get up and walk as if he had been walking all his life. When you were to ask him an interview, he just started walking only a few minutes ago. Power. The mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, becoming a savior to the world. That's how good and gracious God is. That's His name. Now you know Him, full of miracles, wonder, full of answers to all of life's problems. And He is not a weakling. He is the Almighty God. And the Bible says He's the Everlasting Father. What it means is simply this. He is literally the Father of Everlasting. If you look at the original language, that is the literal translation, the Father of Everlasting. In other words, He controls time. The Father of Everlasting. He was there before time began, and He will remain there unto eternity. And there will be no eternity, no end. In other words, His government is forever. He will never die because He's the Almighty. So in other words, you don't have to worry about changing government. This government is forever and ever and ever because the one who governs it is the Almighty God, and He is the one who controls time. He is the Father of eternity, of everlasting. Can you imagine such a wonderful, wonderful government? And to be part of it? To be protected by such an amazing governor who is the Almighty God, who can do miracles, who can answer every single problems or questions that you might have, life and beyond this life, unto eternity. Do you not want to be part of this government? With such a wonderful governor, who controls eternity, there is no end. And you can have eternal life, forever and ever, not as a beggar, but as part of the citizenship of His government. Where there is goodness, purity, kindness, mercy, grace, holiness. All the wonderful, wonderful attributes that this governor possesses this governor possesses, so will his citizens. One and the same. That's why we will be very happy and delighted in such a government. No murmuring, no complaining, because we fit perfectly into such a government. I don't drink and I don't like drinking. I don't even like the smell of some of this alcohol. To me, it's smelly, it stinks. I can't stand it. I choke, I suffocate. So I don't like to sit around tables with people who drink, especially those who drink hard drinks. When people drink wine, I can still smell it, but it's not that offensive. But once they take out those very, very strong liquor, I don't know what it's called, brandy or whatever, the smell is awful and it is suffocating. And so I'm going to tell the people that I sat at the table with, please excuse me, I cannot take this anymore. So I walked away. How true is the government that we are in? There are a lot of people who are not happy with Singapore government. They murmur, they complain all the time. But for some who live very comfortably in this environment, who have made for themselves a very stable and happy family and home and business, they don't want to leave Singapore. They want to be in Singapore. Isn't that the way we are? And so when you study about this government, when you study about the name of the governor, you have to be like him in order to feel comfortable in that kind of government. And finally, the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace. There will be no quarrel. There will be no disagreement. There will only be peace. Do you not want that? Because we all know peace is like thin air that you try to capture and bottle. You want it so badly that no matter how you try to grasp it, you can never hold on to it. You never find it. The world is longing for peace, which is an impossibility, the way our world is behaving. Trouble, trouble everywhere. In Europe, in the Middle East, and very close to us, China and Taiwan. North Korea and South Korea. Trouble spots. It can at any time spark into a very wildfire that may be uncontrollable. And here we have the government, where the governor is known as the Prince of Peace. I will give you peace. And this peace can never be taken away from you. This peace is forever and ever and ever. And this peace begins with you and God. When we are sinners, there is no peace between us and God. Only animosity, enmity, the Bible describes it. Enmity, because we are enemies of God, and therefore that is only enmity. And the only way that this enmity can be erased forever from your life, so that peace between you and the Creator, is for your sins to be washed away. And that's why a Savior is born, not a meek or mild Savior, who is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Everlasting, and the Prince of Peace, the great, great God Almighty. He came to take on flesh and blood, to be like us, but without sin, to be your substitute. The punishment that you and I deserve because of the sins that we have committed against God, he says, put it on me. I will become sin. I will become the one who will take your place in punishment. So, for example, as an idolater, what is the punishment from God to an idolater? Jesus says, put it on me. What is the punishment, the just punishment for an adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, a cheat? All sorts of sinful behavior that we have committed against God. Jesus says, put it on me. I will bear them all. The garment of that sinners, I will put it on. I will wear it. And that's why this Savior was a gift from God to us, to save us. But it is not automatic. You have to accept. You have to believe. He has died. He has rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. But if you do not sincerely, truly accept Him as your substitute, where you surrender your life to Him, your all to God, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, He will not be your Savior and your Lord. You have to accept Him and say to God the Father, I have sinned and I have no way to keep your wrath away from me. Accept through Jesus Christ, whom I now truly, sincerely, with all my heart, accept as my Lord, as my Savior. Forgive me for Jesus' sake, and He will. That's all it takes. For this Savior is born for you as a gift from God, so that you could be delivered from your sin and be forgiven by God to be part of Christ's government. And Christ is a wonderful Savior. He is a very wise Savior. He is a mighty Savior. He is the everlasting Savior who will never, never die, and His salvation for you and in your life will never diminish nor be broken, because the peace that He is going to bring between you and God will last forever, and it will remain forever. And that peace that you make with God can also filter down, where you can make peace with your fellow men, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why the Savior is born, and that is the true meaning of Christmas. This Savior, He must be born like us, but as a gift. You can't buy it. You don't come to church to be saved. You come to church, all these Christian activities are evidence of a person who is born again. But if any one of us think that we can become part of Christ's government by pretending, then God says, you are a hypocrite, and I know who you are, and I will cast you out. You need the garment of Jesus Christ. Give Him your garment of sin, and He will give you the garment of righteousness. All you need is to confess and to believe with all your heart. And this Savior that is born will become your Savior in particular. May this be your experience this afternoon. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search my heart, O God, and help me to be true to my own soul. Not just to come to church and sing all those hymns and read those scriptures and hear God's word like waters off a duck's back. But these are truly activities that we love and delight in, because Jesus Christ is our Lord and is our Savior, whom Thou hast sent to be the Savior of the world as a gift from Thee to sinful world. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that in Christ Jesus, He has ushered in a government that will last for eternity, and only all who are in Christ Jesus will be part of His government. And with a governor whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Everlasting, and the Prince of Peace, may such a wonderful governor govern us all the days of our lives as we long for Christ's return. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, that if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting, that we all may truly come and experience the great work of salvation in Christ Jesus, For truly, a Savior is born this day. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.